There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Team news is starting to filter in for our 7 o'clock kickoffs here in the UAE. It will, of course, be the 3 o'clock kickoffs back over in the UK. We're going to have commentary, courtesy of our friends at TalkSport, and of course we'll bring you up to date with that one in just a few moments' time. But first, let's get an update on the ongoing game, the early kickoff in the Premier League, Cardiff against Brighton and Hove Albion. Let's get the latest from Mr. Matt Fortune.
Yeah, thanks Tom. We're still locked at one apiece, Cardiff, Brighton. Brighton, as we've said, down to 10 men for the best part of 65 minutes. And they've done pretty well, has to be said. Goalkeeper Matt Ryan, not been troubled so much. I said earlier that he's actually been the third busiest goalkeeper in the Premier League throughout October, which is fascinating considering he kept 3 clean sheets. And to be fair, he hasn't had to work too hard to keep a shutout since his team went behind. Cardiff need to do more when you're down there in the mire like they are, when you're opposition with one league win away in 19, come and get a man sent off in the first half. These are the games you need to win.
Got some big games to look forward to over the weekend. I think it's fair to say the majority of the games this afternoon are focusing on what's happening at the southern end of the table. However, that's probably the wrong word to use when we're talking about our feature game, because this is the longest trip in the division. The distance between the clubs and the table is pretty sizeable as well. That said, our feature game, brought to you by our friends at TalkSport, will be Newcastle against Bournemouth. And the Magpies are seeking back-to-back wins, which would be, very much in need for Newcastle fans out there. The man that's going to be calling this one for TalkSport that you'll be able to hear live here in Dubai and across the UAE from 7 p.m. local time is the one and only Tom Rennie. Joins us live on the line. Good afternoon to you, Tom.
A very good day to you. How are you?
We're very well indeed, my friend. Thanks very much indeed. I've got a long list of questions in front of me about this one, but I've just been told that Mike, we've just drafted him in for 300 grand a week, our Matt Fortune. He's alongside us, and he's got a couple of questions.
How are you, Tom?
Matt, I'm so happy you're here. It's the biggest surprise and the best surprise I think I've ever had. Just for those that don't know this, I'm sure it's new for Dubai. Matt and I are old friends. I was at his wedding and stag do, and know things about Matt that would probably get him deported.
Excellent. Tommy, you can imagine how thrilled I was when I discovered it was going to be you on the other end of the line. Let's look
what
ahead.
What do you
want to
know, Matt? Ask the pros some questions. Come on.
Tell us, Tom, just how good is Callum Wilson and how much trouble is he going to cause Newcastle today?
Callum Wilson is a player I've liked for a long time. He's a guy that works the channel superbly. He's got great pace and he's got a great dead eye in front of goal. I think it caused a lot of trouble to a Newcastle backline that doesn't have a great deal of movement. What they do is sit very, very deep with two holding midfielders trying to protect that backline. Even against teams like Bournemouth, middling mid-table teams, they will try and defend from the outset. I was surprised, though, that Callum Wilson was linked with a move to Chelsea this week. That's been the big story in England for the last couple of days, a £35 million bid. I was chatting to some people at Chelsea a couple of days ago, and they all seem to think this may well be a goer. And I'm thinking with Callum Wilson, he's great at working those channels, he's got great energy, but is he the kind of guy that can drop into midfield, link the play? Can he work close with someone like Hazard, someone like Pedro, the kind of guys Chelsea have gotten? I don't quite see that. So I think with the England call-up this week, the game today and the ensuing few weeks for Callum Wilson, building up to January, the window is there to be Chelsea's second striker. They obviously want someone. Last year, they were linked with all sorts of ridiculous moves. All the beanpole strikers you can imagine, people like Peter Crouch, people like Matt Fortune, you know, tall, useless footballers. They were linked with all these sorts of people, and they're going to this year maybe try for someone else who's a little bit better. So the next few weeks are going to be very interesting for Callum Wilson. Next 90 minutes, very interesting indeed. I can't see anything but a Bournemouth win in this game. I think Newcastle stole victory against Newcastle last week, and Bournemouth are the kind of side that get on the front foot. They look to batter you from the outset. Should have done that against Man U, and I fancy him today.
Interesting. And we noticed that the team, Callum Wilson works very well in that three, of course, with Josh King and Ryan Fraser. But he has kicked on despite King's absence in the last three games. Wilson has still looked a player without them around. They've got Jordan Ibe coming in because Junior Stanislas is the next man of those front three to be ruled out. Jordan Ibe's an interesting one. We were talking earlier about young English talent being at clubs perhaps above their level in the first place and having to go and look elsewhere to get those opportunities. But Ibe is a player who really hasn't kicked on, has he, since that what was a club record move at the time?
Matt, Jordan Ives is a championship player. He is nothing better than a championship player. And that's always the issue with Bournemouth, is that they can't really buy in anyone of quality. They don't have the most competitive budget. It's very difficult for them to bring in star names. So what the manager, Eddie Howe, fantastic coach, tries to do is develop players. We've seen that with Wilson. You mentioned King. You mentioned Stanislas. These guys, Ryan Fraser, a real talent who's been developed by Eddie Howe. David Brooks, he's worked with these guys and brought them on. With Jordan Ive, I'm not seeing it. I've seen almost no development during his time there. Obviously, another player that struggled with injury during his time on the South Coast. So it's a good opportunity for him, absolutely. I don't think he gets it in Bournemouth's strongest side, but he has got that one quality we discussed a little bit earlier on. That is pace. He can get that Newcastle backline. Paul Dummett doesn't have it. Fabian Schär doesn't have it. Federico Fernandez doesn't have it. Only Yedlin can really run at any pace, and usually with DeAndre Yedlin, when he gets into a position where he's got to turn and face his own goal, get at full pace and chase someone down, he's a liability. Goes to ground, brings people down, edge of the area, free kicks and penalties. It's a common occurrence with the American international, and I think that Jordan Ibe, if he has a good day and he wants to be a Premier League footballer, I think he could cause some damage today, but I think you're absolutely right. He hasn't kicked on, and I just don't see him being at Bournemouth in the long run.
Tom, some interesting comments from Rafa Benitez midweek in the build-up to this game as well. He said that he thinks his Newcastle team have been consistent since the beginning of the season. Consistent at what?
Consistently awful, consistently defensive, consistently depressing, consistently moaning. Look, they hate Mike Ashley, right? We know they hate Mike Ashley. A couple of weeks ago, Mike Ashley tried to put a Sports Direct banner up inside the ground of the club that he owns, and there was such a protest, they had to bring it back down again. I get they hate him. I get there's not been an investment. But when I look at some of the squad they've got, people like Jose Perez, people like Solomon Rondon, who's starting today, Matt Ritchie, I mentioned Federico Fernandez, no pace, but a good defender, Martin Dubravka, some of the players missing today that have been playing this season of real quality, Jonjo Shelby, for example, Mohamed Diame. Is that not better than five or six teams in the Premier League? I'm looking at Brighton's team today, and I think I'd put five or six Newcastle players in. Rafa Benitez gets less stick than he should because they hate Mike Ashley so much. In the cold light of day, Rafa Benitez moaning about not having enough transfer budget, I think it's had a real negative effect on Newcastle's season. And they haven't been the best team in any game they've played. They're not creating the majority of chances in any game they've played. I think Rafa Benitez, as a manager down the bottom, lacks a certain bravery that you need when you're in charge of a team down the bottom. The game Matt's watching right now, the Cardiff game, Neil Warnock, for all his many, 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 many faults, went on the front foot immediately today against Brighton. They've got 10 men they're up against now, and there's every chance they might steal another victory. As they did last week or the week before when they got their 4-2 against Fulham. So I think he's a bit too negative, Rafa Benitez, and that's why they're going to come unstuck. But he's unsackable, because if he got sacked by Mike Ashley, there may be a full-scale riot, though, in Newcastle Town Centre. How would you notice?
In a word, Tom, do Newcastle go down?
That's my answer. Does uncount as a word?
Yeah, for you it'll do. It'll do.
We need a prediction, Mr. Tom Rennie. I think I know which way you're going with this one. Are there going to be goals, plenty of them?
Yeah, I love Bournemouth. They're a great attacking side. I think we will see goals. There was a late winner in this one last year. I can see it being the same again. I'll take 1-0 to Bournemouth, both goals in the second half.
So a couple of return flights to you, Tom Rennie, to come out here to Dubai, a couple of days in the sun. Will you then divulge a few of the Matt Fortune stories?
I'll tell Stop you everything it, you want to know and more, because he's not a man who's been discreet.
Tom, we'll let you get on. Who's alongside you in comms later on this afternoon?
We've got David Priest with us this afternoon.
Enjoy that one. Tom Rennie, thanks very much indeed for taking time to speak to us. We'll be in touch very, very soon. Our thanks to Tom Rennie and all the team at TalkSport for joining us live ahead of our late kickoff, which is from 7 p.m. this evening, local time here in the UAE. Stay tuned for Newcastle against Bournemouth. But that said, all the goals, as and when they're scored, Leicester against Burnley, and what will be a very emotionally charged game, Southampton against Watford and Huddersfield against West Ham, all kicking off at 7 o'clock local time here in the UAE. But you've also got the bonus, added bonus of Crystal Palace Palace against Tottenham. That one from 8:30 this evening, local time here in the UAE. Sorry, that forgotten about the clocks. 9:30 local time here in the UAE. Just a quick one on that one, Matt. Leicester Burnley. Already we're seeing the crowd turning up into the stadium over in Leicester. A lot of build up ahead of this one. It's going to be an emotionally charged event.
Absolutely, and I think you have to look to last week, or in fact the last 2 weeks since that terrible, terrible incident outside the stadium, how wonderfully well Leicester City have handled things. It's not the sort of thing you can prepare for in any way. There's no PR practice that you can be briefed on to handle that, and I thought they handled it superbly well. And you look at last week, Cardiff, who we're watching now, hosted what was a very fitting and appropriate tribute, and now it's nice that Leicester have the chance to put something on, especially a fitting tribute for the man who is rightly a hero to them, not just at the football club, and I know everybody has touched on it, and that's what I think has been most heartwarming, is actually the impact he had in the local area. So seeing lots of fans down there, even fans without tickets, just to be a part of what will be a really fitting afternoon. I think it should be a very special occasion.
Yeah, all sorts of tributes being organised down for the Leicester game. There is the 5,000-to-1 walk which is taking place at the moment. Thousands of Leicester City fans joining a memorial walk in honour of those killed in the helicopter crash outside the stadium. The club owner was among the five people who died. The 5,000-to-1 walk is named after the odds the club overcame to win the fairy tale 2016 Premier League title. Fans marched from Jubilee Square to the King Power Stadium ahead of the Foxes game with Burnley later today. So as the goals go in there, we will let you know about them. The only thing we can tell you about from there at the moment is some team news, and Leicester, two changes for them. Force, that is, injured defender Harry Maguire and midfielder James Maddison are out. Johnny Edvins and Rashid Ghazal both come into the starting 11 for Leicester. To Burnley, they've got three changes to the side that lost 4-2 at West Ham. James Tarkowski's injured. He's replaced by Kevin Long in defence. Jack Cork comes in for Ashley Westwood in midfield, and Chris Wood takes Matej Vidra's spot up front. So we'll keep an eye on those for you. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk derbies. Derbies down in South America, and there's a rather large derby to look forward to in the UK tomorrow.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hot lunch combo.
Oh, wow. Less than a minute left of regular time. Drama in the Premier League.
We've got a goal and we look like we've got a winner with 30 seconds to go. Cardiff City, after an almighty scramble that led to a long throw-in, followed by another almighty scramble. It's been bundled in. I'd love to tell you who it is, but unfortunately he ripped his shirt off and then was mobbed by crowd and players alike. It has hit the bar, it's hit the post, it's been cleared off the line, and I still can't see who it is who comes storming in and just leathers it. There's a bicycle kick off the post. This is brilliant. This is one of the... What an almighty scramble. And I still have no idea who it is because the shirt's off before he's even got out of the goal mouth. But as we say, it's Cardiff 2, Brighton 1, and we are already in stoppage time. Incredible scenes.
We'll get goal scorer for you on that one in just a few moments' time. We're into added time as well. Let's have a look at Neil Warnock's reaction as well. Just fair to say, it's nice, quiet, reserved, as usual.
He's jumping like a 70-year-old man there, isn't he? Absolutely brilliant. What an end.
Right, we'll keep an eye on that one. There may be more drama there. What have we got coming up for you from 7 o'clock? Live coverage of Newcastle against Bournemouth, plus all the goals from Huddersfield against West Ham, Leicester against Burnley, Southampton against Watford. And then from 9:30 this evening, Palace taking on Tottenham Hotspur in the Premier League. And then, of course, tomorrow, lots to look forward to. From 4 o'clock in the afternoon, some big games. Liverpool take on Fulham. Chelsea entertain Everton tomorrow afternoon as Ross Barkley returns to a former club as well. We'll be getting more on that one in just a little while. Arsenal entertain Wolverhampton Wanderers from 8:30, which is exactly the same time as Manchester City are hosting their noisy neighbours.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hot lunch combo.
Yeah, apologies for that. A few gremlins in the system. We're talking Manchester City, Manchester United. It's the derby tomorrow. City entertaining United. We're talking about that long journey for Newcastle to Bournemouth and Bournemouth to Newcastle. Not that long a journey from City over to United at Manchester.
No, very, very close indeed. But the gap in actual footballing terms, I think, and people have been touching on it this week, is huge. It's not just how they play. It's not just the results they get, the quality of the players. The gap is phenomenal. The whole football operation at Manchester City is far, far superior to Manchester United.
Do you think that's what's winding someone like Jose Mourinho up? I mean, we were listening just a few minutes ago. I'll try and play them out again. You know, this constant stuck record mentality has at the moment about the three titles and I've done more than you've ever done, etc. We're hearing it time and time again. Is that what's frustrating him, that he is the manager of possibly one of the biggest football brands in the world at the moment, the biggest football brand, but not the biggest club in the Premier League?
It's tough because I think for many years Mourinho wanted to be a Manchester United manager. He wanted to go what the time was, he thought was one of the two or three biggest clubs in the world. And let's not be wrong, they are one or two or three of the biggest clubs in the world. Their fan base is massive, their revenues are gigantic. They have it all, but it's not when working for Jose Mourinho. And he's under pressure. And why is he under pressure? Well, you look 15 kilometres away, 10 kilometres away, and Manchester City seem to have it all. The perfect coach, the budget that can buy pretty much any player in world football, the style of football, the way they win matches. He's looking at them and being frustrated, and he's under pressure week in, week out. That being said, there is a big gap. At the moment, I think United have started to trend upwards, though. They have found some resilience. For all the talk of disruptions in the dressing room and problems with players and Mourinho not speaking to guys, they've fought back and got a couple of really strong results in the last couple of weeks. The win against Newcastle when they came back, the win at Bournemouth where they had to fight back, Chelsea, they had that game dead and buried. And let's not forget what happened during the week. They went away to Juventus, probably one of the two best club sides in the world, them and Barcelona, and got a win. It wasn't pretty, and Juventus probably should have won that match, but it's a result. And United are trending upwards, and I know they're going to go into tomorrow massive underdogs. I quite like United when they're underdogs because they fight for Mourinho. They fight there, and I expect them to get maybe something out of this match. I don't know what it will be, but maybe a point. A point. They won last year at Ulta. The season was done and dusted.
I was going to say...
I quite like United taking on City. The matchup quite works well. For me,
this is. I'm no Manchester United fan, but this is Manchester United. It's just such a sorry state of affairs that they are going into the game as such rank outsiders, and that performance against Juventus. I mean, how
2-1 away?
It's a results business, I guess. But this is Manchester United. I mean, it's glory, glory, and there's none of it there. And you're absolutely right. You look at the results since that dreadful start against Newcastle. Had that game been seen out at 2-0 as it was at half time, after just 12 minutes, I think. I don't think we'd be talking about Jose Mourinho as a Manchester United manager. But you're absolutely right, they are trending upwards. And if anything Jose is very good at is momentum. And a Jose Mourinho side with momentum is a dangerous animal. They're back up to seventh in the table. I think what is needed, just to shine a light on exactly where they are, is a battering from Manchester City. And I don't mean that flippantly, but if they are really exposed by their rivals down the road, that's when they'll start to question it. Because the results they have got, yeah, they are right, but this is a terrible Newcastle side they came back from against an Everton side still feeling themselves. Bournemouth are just not used to being in that commanding position. Not to undermine the progress that they seemingly have made. We're not hearing any upset from the dressing room. Pogba's quietened down, not playing very well, but has certainly quietened down. Martial, one of the ones that was marginalised. Shaw, another one, playing better. It does certainly seem rosy, but I think you put them in a real tussle tomorrow. That's when we'll know exactly where they are.
It is the Manchester Derby. It's tomorrow evening at 8:30 p.m., same time as Arsenal kick-off against Wolverhampton Wanderers. It is a game that, you know, even those that aren't Manchester football fans will watch because there is so much history between these two. This is a great rivalry, and as if you needed any encouragement as to why there is that rivalry, just have a listen to this.
It's not good at the moment at Manchester United. They're 8 points off Liverpool. They're out of the Carabao Cup. The Champions League is going to be difficult. There's problems with Paul Pogba. Jose Mourinho's not getting the best out of a number of players.
We've got a situation where Jose Mourinho almost looks as though he's saying, you know what, if my Manchester United career is going, I'm going to make sure one or two go with you.
No. You have to make a decision. What is the most important thing? If it is to play well or if it is to win matches. And I won more premierships alone than the other 19 managers together.
Respect! Respect!
Pep Guardiola's record breakers, most points in a Premier League season, most consecutive wins. I mean, you could go on and on with the list of records that they've broken.
He is a genius.
You're looking at
at Manchester City, they're so far ahead of everybody else, in, not just in points, but in the way and style that they're playing. They're taking teams out before they've even been out on the pitch.
Sterling.
It's difficult to find the right words to describe this this club. This is reality. I am Man United manager. I know, obviously, the responsibility. I know the expectation. At the same time, I know the legacy. I know what is behind me. I know the history of this club. I know what the fans they expect from me. I want everything.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Let's talk rugby now because we're into the Autumn Internationals. They're called the Autumn Internationals. A couple of games already underway. Mark Archer.
Yeah, early kickoff. 6 matches today in total. The big one, of course, 7 p.m. is going to see England take on the number one ranked team in the world, the All Blacks. But 2 matches underway. Let's start in Georgia, of all places. Georgia taking on Italy. Italy lead that match after 32 minutes, 10 points to 7. And the match just kicked off at Murray Field in Edinburgh. It's Scotland trailing to an early penalty by Ben Volavola for Fiji. So it's Fiji 3, Scotland 0. 5 minutes gone on that match, Tom.
Now, there is one game that we are all looking forward to. And in fact, I'm just looking to look at the crowd down here at Barasti. Big crowd in for this one with good reason, because they don't come around that often. It is England against New Zealand.
82,000 will pack European rugby's biggest stage, but they probably won't be half as excited as the All Blacks.
Would you compare it to the Buzz Before the Lions tour?
No, I think it's even bigger than that, actually. I think the Lions tour has made it bigger, you know, because we weren't successful.
There would be even more hype if their 2012 Twickenham nemesis, powerful midfielder Manu Tuilagi, was back from a groin injury.
Tuilagi's going to score!
He's almost 99.9%, but he's just not quite right. So rather than risk him, we're going to wait to see if we can get him 100% right.
Without Tuilagi, the home side is expected to revert to type.
They'll play a physical game up front. Their kicking game is pretty good. Their aerial skills to support that are good. And they'll look to wear you down.
Considering it's been 4 years since the All Blacks took on England, and the English style is so much different to the expansive Southern Hemisphere way of playing rugby, a lot of these All Blacks don't have experience against what they'll face this weekend.
Are there any teams down south who play even similarly that you could have had a bit of practice against?
When the conditions were wet and cold, we saw the Crusaders play a similar game, quite forward orientated, a lot of kicking off nine, but then again, so different.
It's not just a foreign style, but unrecognisable players. Owen Frank's opposing props, Ben Moon and Alec Hepburn, have just 4 caps between them. So Frank's lent on brother Ben, who plays in England.
I had a chat to him, and from what I've seen, done my due diligence for sure.
Most of these All Blacks haven't experienced 80,000 singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
There's just a lot of people, isn't it? Might be a little bit louder.
With all the hype, Twickenham poses a different and probably deafening challenge. In London, Ross Carr, News Hub.
And of course, it wouldn't be Test week against England without the inevitable questions about the haka, and Eddie Jones took his cue today. Quizzed on whether he'll take any notice of the All Blacks pre-game ritual, Jones was at his dismissive best.
At that stage, the game, they could be playing Spice Girls, I wouldn't know what's being played. They're making a comeback, aren't they, Spice Girls? So maybe they could sing at that time.
Now that would be something, wouldn't it, Archie?
What, the England team singing the Spice Girls in competition to the All Blacks haka?
Yeah, yeah, you got the haka going on, and they came back with, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want, you know, a little rendition, a little number between the team.
Yeah, that would be interesting at Twickenham, and maybe the 82,000 people could join in harmony there, Tom. But
scene set, Manu Tuilagi, fit?
No, not fit, not on the bench. He's apparently, according to Eddie Jones, 99.9%, so he's not ready to go in action. He missed out last week with a niggle. So we'll wait to see Manu Tuilagi. It'll be a long time between drinks to see him in an England shirt, but he does make a difference for them. That let's just run you through some team news for Eddie Jones' England. There are three changes to his starting 15 that beat the Springboks last weekend at Twickenham. Chris Ashton makes his first start in 4 years on the wing. Sam Underhill comes in for the injured back row forward Tom Curry. And in the front row, Ben Moon, a man I must say I've never heard of before, replaces his Exeter Chiefs teammate, a man I've never heard of also before, Alex Hepburn. So some three changes for Eddie Jones. Let's have a quick chat, listen to Eddie Jones talking about those changes for England this afternoon.
It's more of an order change. We feel Jack played exceptionally well for us last week, but when you're playing against New Zealand, the 80 minutes is important, and Jack's got an incredible work rate, so we feel he's going to be enormously valuable for us the last 20. Chris can sniff a try from anywhere, and to beat New Zealand, you've got to score tries, so he's in good form, looks sharp, so we've given him the nod to start.
He's so delighted to be back last week. He was, you know, still kind of floating on air on Monday when we spoke to him. What was his reaction when he found out he was going to start this weekend?
I've got no idea. I never tell the players when they're in, I only tell them when they're out. But I'm sure he's going to be excited.
Sam Underhill comes in at 7. How easy a decision was that? Or were you sort of tempted to shift that back row around a little bit? You talked earlier in the week about maybe moving Wilson over there and Courtney at 6.
Yeah, no, we looked at a number of possibilities, but we wanted a like-for-like player, and Underhill's a like-for-like with Curry. He's a very good player, Sam. You know, he's had a few injury issues, but this is a great opportunity for him. He's strong at the breakdown, good chop tackler, and certainly he'll fill the spot that Tom did so well in last week.
And Moon as well. It's a great tale, isn't it? I mean, you said a few weeks ago, didn't you, if you'd said, what, a month ago, that Moon was going to play an autumn international, let alone start against the All Blacks. It's a good tale, and you're obviously very impressed with what he did off the bench.
Again, more of an order change than anything. Ben scrummaged as well last week, so we're confident he can do a good job for us.
Interesting there, because you're right, you know, look, Ben Moon, one of the names that probably not straight off the team list, but Ben Teo again, obviously started last week, but Ben Teo has only played half an hour of first-class rugby since the beginning of the season for Worcester. I suppose same could be said from an England's point of view for New Zealand in a couple of positions. They've had to juggle things around. Sonny Bill Williams plays at 12, but Jack Goodhue is not a man I know a huge amount about.
5 caps, had a wonderful season with the Crusaders. He's seen as the solution going forward. Sonny Bill Williams has had a lot of time off this year with injury, but he's played 50 international caps and obviously won World Cups and been part of that campaign in 2015. So still some experience there, but Jack Goodhue is a huge talent. He's keeping the likes of Ryan Crotty on the bench. Yeah. So when you've got the likes of Crotty to come off the bench if required, or Anton Lennon-Brown in the midfield, it's still a dilemma that the All Blacks are trying to find the best combination in the midfield. So it will be interesting to see how Sonny Bill Williams goes. He's been under a bit of pressure, hasn't quite lived up to his hype since he's come back into the team. So a bit of pressure on him to perform to the highest level today. But there are a couple of New Zealand-born players, Tom, in the English team. There's a surprise. Dylan Hartley, the co-captain, born in Rotorua. Brad Shields, also looking forward to him facing the All Blacks today. But let's have a listen to Dylan Hartley about what it is that he finds interesting. Co-captain for England taking on the All Blacks this afternoon.
We had a fortnight to prepare with a much talked about inexperienced team. So ultimately, winning was vital for us. We played against a team that have been together for quite a few months, pretty well oiled, and they've obviously had some pretty good performances and one notable result in their recent history. So they're a good side. So ultimately, we're very happy with a victory.
So it is the might of the world champion All Blacks for England this weekend. Well, they've beaten New Zealand just once in the last 15 test matches, and Hartley knows exactly what they must do to ensure that they maintain their 100% record in these autumn internationals.
Ultimately, those guys are human. They are the number one ranked team in the world, but that's great. We're within a World Cup. We're in that year now, so we really want to test ourselves. And the foundations of the side are underpinned by hard work and commitment, and that's what got us through last week. But if we want to be a better side this week, we've got to be accurate. These guys are the best, and they're in town, so it's quite exciting for us. It's a great opportunity to see where we're at.
Great opportunity to see where you're at. Well, that was an opportunity last weekend, round about this time, when England weren't good. They got over the line, but I think most of us England fans and just rugby fans alike will agree that South Africa should at best got a penalty for that last challenge at the end of the game by Owen Farrell. Anyway, that's gone. England get over the line, but they weren't convincing.
No, and to be honest, South Africa should have put England away, yeah, in the first chance, in the first half of that match. They dominated them up front in the forwards. They had plenty of try-scoring opportunities. They couldn't convert. They blew probably two clear chances to score tries and probably get out of sight of England. Now, you're not going to beat the All Blacks scoring 12 points and four penalties, Tom, because the All Blacks, I can tell you, have scored four or more tries in their last 12 test matches. So you're going to have to score tries to beat them, and probably somewhere around 25 points. That's just statistical fact. So you can't beat them with penalties. You're going to have to score, find a way of scoring a few tries. England couldn't do that last week, but they're going to have to find a way at Twickenham. Now, a couple of men, though, in that England team have had some success against the All Blacks. That was wearing the red of the British and Irish Lions last year. One man who's definitely not afraid, who had a massive series last year for the British and Irish Lions, is the big lock, the big loose forward. We've had him up here at the rooftop bar grill here before. Big Courtney Lawes. This is what he had to say about facing the All Blacks in about 30 minutes' time.
They're not unbeatable. They are a team, and in a sport like this, you see it every week. Anybody can win on any given day, and I don't even think it's necessarily a fact that we've got to get lucky to win, or, you know, we've got to have an unbelievable day to win. I think that we've certainly got all the quality in the team that we need. We just need to be able to put it together on the day, and, you know, make some good decisions and bring that right intensity to get us ahead.
What did the Lions get right on that day? And in fact, 2012, you beat them as well, didn't you?
I think you've just got to execute your game plan. You need to have the right intensity and be able to have a cool enough head with the intensity to convert pressure to points, take your opportunities and ultimately put scores on the board, because, you know, they're a great team. They're also going to most likely score. But if you can, you know, maximise your defence, maximise your attack, then you've always got a good shot.
Right, let's get some more insight into that starting 15 for the All Blacks. Because, Archie, you were telling us about the Jacka Goodhue in the midfield. What about the new man up front as well? Joe Moody doesn't play. He picked up that nasty injury last week.
Yeah, the prop, Joe Moody, had a training incident where he, for want of a better word, ripped off his eyelash. So he's unavailable through selection. But in comes one of the players, actually, an amazing story for this guy, one of the replacement props, Carl Tua Nikenkafe, who's come from who was told about 2 years ago, Tom, that he was massively overweight. I think he was 18 stone and had to lose weight for medical reasons. So he said, well, I might as well take up rugby. I quite like rugby. I'll get onto it. Played in the NPC, did really well. Picked up a couple of starts for the Chiefs, I think, in Super Rugby. Fast-tracked into the All Blacks, and he's now been nominated for Breakthrough Player of the Year. So he's an amazing story, and he is a stalwart, a rock in the scrum. All Blacks forwards often get sort of underplayed about how good they are at set piece, but they miss nothing in the scrum and they miss nothing in the line out. And here's a guy that's coming in for Joe Moody in the front row. So that's the big change there. Of course, you talked about Sonny Bill Williams at inside centre with Jack Goodhue, that combination there. Tua Nikenkafe comes in for Joe Moody. And then what Hansen's done is he's picked two playmakers. Beauden Barrett, of course, at fly half, two times World Player of the Year. And Damien McKenzie, little man, they've picked him at fullback. I expect England to kick a lot to him today, but kick at your mercy, because if he gets a bit of space, this guy is dynamite in a box. He's probably the closest equivalent to someone like Jason Robinson. He just finds a bit of gap, and away he goes. So it's got Damien McKenzie at fullback, Beauden Barrett at fly half, and watch them two to interchange. So what Steve Hansen wants, he wants two playmakers, two guys to drive the team forward in there. Also, watch out for Rico Ioane. 13 tries he scored in his past 11 test matches, Tom. England have only scored 22 tries in their last 11 test matches. This man scored half the number. So look out for those guys. Kieran Reid, of course, the All Black captain, was there a few years ago when they had success in the last match in 2014 between these two teams. Let's just listen to Kieran Reid about how excited he is to play at Twickenham at 7 p.m.
We're focused on what they've got this time around, really. So as a team, I think they've certainly improved. You know, and right now they're, you know, one of the top teams in the world. And, you know, they play a game that, yep, it can be fairly conservative, but it wins football games. And, you know, they've got some guys out there who are pretty devastating with ball in hand. So you got to give them the due respect for that. I guess I've really enjoyed playing on the big stages, and Twickenham is certainly, you know, one of the, if not the biggest stage in rugby. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, the guys are pretty excited. I've been had to just rein us in all week, really, to keep our energy up for Saturday. It's a mental game, but also just physically making sure that we do the workout on the track, but not trying to do too much, you know, and playing the game on, you know, in your head or on the training field. You just got to keep the energy in the tank, and hopefully we'll show that tomorrow. Yeah, it's special, and we spoke about that. You know, wearing the poppy on our jersey, and it's, you know, it's something that you don't get to do a lot. And, you know, I think it's a special day playing England at Twickenham, and so really looking forward to it. It's, you know, one of those occasions you remember across your career. So yeah, it's going to be a massive one. Like I've been on these occasions before. Yeah, certainly. You know, when you have the minute silence, and you know, it's hard to keep your emotions in check. You know what all these great people did a long time ago. You know, to give us what we have now. So you reflect on that, and then you've got to put it to the side as well.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai iSport.
We've got about 5 minutes left of the show, just enough time for us to mark your card for all things sport. Let's get a quick update on the rugby and find out what's happening there. Mark Archer?
Yeah, big kickoff in Twickenham in the next 10 minutes, but I can tell you two matches are underway of the Autumn Internationals already at Murrayfield. In Edinburgh, Scotland are taking on Fiji, and after 20 minutes, they lead the Fijians by 14 points to 3. Alan Dow and Fraser Brown with tries, both converted by Greg Lainlaw for Scotland. So 14 points to 3 after 20 minutes at Murrayfield. And Georgia taking on Italy. Italy lead at half-time, 18 points to 7, Tom.
Let's get some update on some of the early kickoffs over in Europe for you. Real Valladolid took on Eibar. That one finished goalless at full time. Still to come in round about 20 minutes' time, but quarter past 7. You've got Getafe taking on Valencia. Atletico Madrid are in action against Bilbao later on. And then Girona take on Leganes in the late game. That one at 12:45 this evening. They're up and running over in the Bundesliga at the moment. No goals to report apart from in one game. Freiburg have conceded two in the first 18 minutes over there. Late game over in Germany later on this afternoon is Borussia Dortmund against Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich, Matt Fortune, still the team to beat in the Bundesliga?
No, absolutely not, funnily enough. It's Dortmund, their host today, that are the team that a lot of people are saying are the most exciting team to watch around Europe at the moment. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I think it's something like four or five four-goal margin wins for Dortmund. They're being conducted by Marco Reus, enjoying a bit of a renaissance after maybe 18 months or 2 years of not quite hitting the heights. Of course, they've got the young British sensation, Jadon Sancho's playing there. Christian Pulisic, the American, is still doing wonderful things. Bayern, on the other hand, are starting to find a little bit more rhythm. Kovac, the manager, was under a lot of pressure earlier this season, maybe a month and a half ago. They called a press conference, which many believed was going to be the announcement that the manager that only joined in the summer was going to be sacked. As it is, he was just calling this press conference to ask everyone to stop being so mean to him in the media. And actually, to give him his credit, he's called them off his back, and he's delivered the results. So Bayern are slowly creeping up, but Dortmund sit top as they host their more illustrious rivals.
There's a game underway over in the Serie A at the moment. Torino taking on Parma. It's half-time there. It's Parma who lead Torino by 2-1. Spal take on Cagliari, and Genoa at home to Napoli later. Games in France from 8 o'clock as well. A local timer in the UAE, that is. Kicking off with Guingamp against Lyon and Angers against Montpellier. So plenty of games to look forward to there. Our focus, though, right here on Dubai 103.8 will be that game over in the Premier League, where it is going to be all to play for Newcastle there at Bournemouth. We heard from Tom Rennie a little earlier on. He doesn't give Newcastle a chance in this one, Matt Fortune.
Yeah, I think he's probably right. Bournemouth really are the template for sides in that bracket underneath the top six of how to go about doing things the right way, play the right brand of football, do things that ruffle the feathers of those above them, as Bournemouth showed against Manchester United, not going in and expecting any great waves when they go against those big sides, but just doing things the right way. And then you look at their opponents today, Newcastle, pretty much the template for how to not do things the right way. So I can't see beyond an away win on this one, I'm afraid.
Palace take on Tottenham. That's the late game as well. It's also live here on Dubai I-103.8 from 9.30 this evening. Palace at home, Tottenham, 3 points for the Spurs.
Yeah, absolutely. Palace are not looking great this season. They're, of all the teams in the Premier League, and I know it's a bit of a cliche, but to the label of one-man team, Crystal Palace only do well when Wilf Zaha does well. I'm not sure Roy Hodgson's getting the best out of him at the moment. Obviously, he's had a good few months at the back end of last season, but when he's out of the side, which he won't be today, but if they're not getting the best out of him, Palace really struggle. Spurs enjoying their best start to a Premier League season that they've ever had, but somehow not causing the waves that Tottenham teams that have done well have previously created. Harry Kane looks a little bit slow despite his goals in midweek, but you're right, I can't see a way passing away win.
Matt, bless you. Thanks so much indeed for all of your hard yards today. Enjoy the football. Enjoy your late kickoffs as well, or early morning kickoffs tomorrow. Thank you very much indeed to Matt Fortune for joining us live on the show. Tom Rennie's got your football for you in just a few moments' time as we cross over to the United Kingdom for live coverage of Newcastle against Bournemouth. What can you hear behind us is the players on the field over at Twickenham. Conditions not looking ideal. You're from New Zealand. They're fine with those, aren't they?
No, it's been sunny all day, hasn't it, in southwest London. Tom, but the heavens have opened. It has been pouring down. It is, of course, Armistice Day in around the world, and so there's both teams and various dignitaries are paying their respects to soldiers who have fought for their countries in the past, and that's ongoing at the moment. We'll soon have the anthems and, of course, the haka. So if you're looking for somewhere to watch the rugby, of course, Barasti is absolutely jammed. Wonderful atmosphere down here. So come on down to Barasti. Big screen is showing the rugby. It's England taking on New Zealand. Buckle up, it's all coming, Tom.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Do get yourself down to Barasti to watch that. It's on the big screen, and you can hear the palpable excitement in Mark Archer's voice there. He's up for this one, are you? Do come on down to Barasti, where the rugby, or of course football, or any other sport is your thing. Also qualifying from the Brazilian Grand Prix taking place down here as well. So get yourself over to Barasti. Thanks very much indeed for listening. Hector, thanks very much indeed to Benj, to Arshan, all the team on marketing. Also all the crew back in the office and back in the studio. Who is it today? Elaine back there? Elaine. Bless you, Elaine. Thank you, Elaine. We hand over to our colleagues at TalkSport for live coverage from the Premier League. Joy.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.